In the church calendar, All Saints' Day stands alone, a single day, a festival in recognition of those who have gone before and our theological hope that we can hang on to. Today, having remembered each of these individuals, 34 individuals, previously at their time of death, we now look forward. We look forward with hope to eternal life in the presence of God. On this day, we also look forward with hope that one day you and I will also be remembered as saints, not living saints, but saints who have pointed others towards God's presence. This one wild and precious life to live fully as children of God. So you and I, we've been reading through Genesis since June. We've been reading Genesis for a while now, and today we heard of Esau and Jacob. You'll recall they've been feuding and fighting for quite a number of chapters now, this sibling rivalry epic, and they come together to bury their father. They come together with the work of family. Their father, who had adored one of them, and the other had been bamboozled by his father. Talk about complex family dynamics at the Thanksgiving table. But the brothers came together with honesty about the past and hope about the future. And we pair that this morning with the reading Janet read for us from Revelation, this incredible image of God's fullness in the kingdom, multitudes in worship. You can almost hear and see from John's description this vision that describes each and every one in newly washed clothes. We can see the glint and feel the freshness. I almost imagine it like that moment when the dryer stops. If you take out clothes right in that moment and put it by your cheek, it's still warm, or put on the warm shirt, it feels fresh. It feels clean, and you have a certain kind of warmth about something straight out of the dryer. Our loved ones, the ones who we remember today, washed and fresh before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So washed from those blind spots, the ones we all have, and those things that separated us from God, made clean and glistening in the presence of Jesus. Now, maybe it's not your loved ones, but some folks I know, each of these had a little foible or some failings along the way, cleaned and presented before the Lord. Perhaps it was those hurtful grudges that your mom held from those who were a little different than you were, washed clean in Jesus. Perhaps it's the painful bigotry of your granddad, and you don't tell those stories anymore, but now wash clean in Jesus. Maybe it's the struggles of addiction that made life challenging here, but now wash clean in Jesus. The best versions of our loved ones presented before God. Now, this vision of heaven that John of Patmos gives us is not just about personal healing and wholeness, although that's great as well. It's for the whole body of Christ in systematic ways. Tears wiped from our eyes, not just because we're reunited, but because there's no longer those who are hungry and those who are needy. There's no longer some who are subservient and some who are exalted. All as children of God. Martha Green, a local Presbyterian pastor, says it this way: the redeemed are so numerous, they can't even be counted. And who's among them? Stephen, who was stoned, and Peter, who was crucified. There's Oscar Romero, who had the Eucharistic prayer of thanksgiving still pouring out of his mouth. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, triumphant over the Nazi gallows. And Martin Luther King Jr., still praying the dream would come true for humanity. The Sudanese Christian boys, the ones who'd been gunned down in their village. And hospital workers in Pakistan, whose robes were the most freshly washed. She goes on to say, we see a procession of faithful lined up. Then she says, in historical order, or maybe not, because order might not matter in the heavenly realm, with those we know nothing about, because their tribulations are private, are they not all in the great multitude? This morning, we remember husbands and we remember wives, fiancés and friends, sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles, cousins, parents, children, those in our church family. We remember those who are such a daily part of our lives that we miss them each and every day. And those who we thought about when we gathered around a Thanksgiving table every so often. We remember those who we were proud as punch of, and those we loved in spite of who they were. Calling these beloved children of God saints changes our perspective. In the most traditional definition of saint, those who show us who God is, they offer us wisdom and learning from the ways they lived. This posture of learning requires something from us. You see, friends, in our culture, we tend to think we know it already, and we have nothing else to learn. Imagining that the saints of God can teach us something is a different way of approaching relationship. It's countercultural. It's an openness that God can move through all of God's people. So sometimes we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before. We see our parents when we look in the mirror. We recognize their phrases slip out of our mouths. We feel the impact of the way they live in the choices we make. Sometimes we can name the kindness of a brother or the devotion of a mother, the joy of life from our sister or the service from our father. Sometimes we are moved by our grandparents and the way they've cared for us in the faith. Sometimes we can point to an aunt who cared throughout her life for all the family members. And other times, the foibles seem to block our view, and we've missed in real time where God has been moving. We only remember we were a little disappointed in how they acted, and they didn't live out the commitment in the way we thought that they should. We only remember the temper was short and the heart didn't seem as open as it ought to have been. On all of the saints, we remember God's time is not tracked on the wall the way our clock tracks the time. That linear time and space cannot contain God's vastness. You see, the kingdom of God is breaking through all the time. The kingdom of God that's here and not yet, that's shown to us every day, if only we have eyes to see it. So we may very well see it in a woman who fought against the disease that ravished her body. We might see it in the hope that a man who held on to cooking in the kitchen until his body would hold up no longer. We might see it in a mother who advocated for her children to the detriment of her health. We see God breaking in. The vision of heaven and the love we know growing. So for the rest of us, saints in the making, we have some large shoes to fill. We look forward to the future, the shadows of those who've gone before. We remember with joy and with tenderness, with tears and with hope. One day, our robes will be washed clean as well. We too will praise God. But for today, we have a posture of learning to take. Those saints who've gone before and the living saints among us who urge us on to perfection. They come in the most unusual places. In fact, it was Will Rogers who said, "Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there." May this All Saints Day be a pause to remember and then an encouragement to learn forward from those you've known as beloved. This, my friends, is the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.